Yo, let's get into this, you.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about the new season of You on Netflix and how Joe is really a piece of trash. Okay, so let's get into You. So at the beginning of the season, Joe ends up moving to the city of Fallen Angels, Los Angeles. And he moves there because he didn't kill Becky in New York, and his ex-girlfriend that he thought he killed, Candace, she was not dead. She ended up surviving, but he thought he left her as dead. So she ended up coming back and kind of taunt him, like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And no matter, and then she tells Joe, no matter what city you run to, no matter where you run to, I will find you and I will end you. So Joe has to leave New York fast because he's scared that he's gonna get caught. So he goes and tries to take a new life in LA. So while living in LA, he needs a fake ID. He needs a fake name. He needs all this stuff to move somewhere else. So he goes to LA. He meets this hacker guy. The hacker guy's talking. They exchange some info about stuff, and he ends up knocking the hacker guy out and taking the hacker guy's identity. And he ends up throwing the hacker guy in one of his little dungeon things that he built, the little case box he always built and he traps people in and stuff. So he ends up throwing him in that in some storage unit he rented in LA. And in the process of him taking that guy's identity, he ends up getting this apartment building in the guy's name. And the landlord is this obnoxious ass. Her character was annoying to me because she was just so annoying. I know she was dealing with like issues of being raped and stuff and having to take responsibility of taking care of her 14-year-old sister because it was just her and the sister because the father died. I don't know what happened to the mother, but they said the father died, so all they had was each other. So Joe ended up kind of, in a way, building a relationship with her. Because first, when they first met, she was kind of all bitchy to him. And then when she saw that the little sister would kind of, like, talk to him in a way, she's all like, she had this thing about every man was a fucking predator and a pervert. And she sounds just like my grandma, because that's something my grandma always says. But she had this thing where every man is a pervert and a predator. So she would always kind of, like, get up in Joe's face and be like, you the nice one, but they always say that behind all that niceness, you're just as evil comes. Little did she know she was actually right. But they end up building a relationship like throughout the episodes, so she's kind of confides in him to a little bit about a certain situation of some celebrity in Hollywood that took advantage of her like that. But he ends up moving in that apartment building. He stays there. So once he gets to the apartment building, he has to help people find a job. So when he goes to find a job, he applies for this grocery store in LA. And I'm just trying to figure out how the fuck he can afford all that stuff in LA. Because I know LA is expensive. Like, that apartment he got had to be at least $1,000. I would say LA and New York both have ridiculous prices. Like, it's just ridiculous, because, like, Joe obviously, I forgot, he used some of his, money he stashed away, his trust fund, to go to LA, too. So, he ends up getting his job at this grocery store, and they end up putting him as a position to work in the library and stuff, and stack books, because he knows so much about books. So, while working in the library, he stalks this woman named Love, which I just thought he made it up, but that was actually her name, Love. So he meets Love. She is a cook at the restaurant, but to find out her family owns the restaurant, and her brother basically, roam around the restaurant. Well, she works. She makes, she's a cook, so she makes pastries and desserts and stuff. So she make desserts for the store. In 50/40, he just be obnoxious and walk around and tell people what to do. Like, 40 is annoying, he's obnoxious, like, 40 pissed me off. 40 got on my nerves. Like, some things 40 was funny with, but 40, when he did that one episode when he drugged Joe and he had them take acid, when he spiked Joe's drink and it was acid in the drink, so everybody was kind of bizarred out. Like, that kind of, he got my nerves more than Angela's sister. But, so Joe ends up meeting this girl named Love in 40. And when he ends up doing that, he ends up building this relationship. So at first he's all like, I'm not going to stalk her. Well, to find out, he been stalking her since he got to LA. Before he even got that job, he been following her. He lives directly across from her house in the apartment building. So he takes his telescope and he spies on her out the window. So his ass been a whole fucking weirdo. Like, Joe's a weirdo. Like, you like Joe. Joe's so fucking toxic because in a way you root for him and you understand that he's an abused child, so he kind of act out in an abused way. But at the same time, he's a fucking weirdo and he always gets himself in these problems and he ends up killing these people. And he be like, it was an accident, I'm not a bad person. But it's like, it's not an accident. You're a fucking deranged, crazy ass fucking man. Okay? And every time somebody gets by you, they fucking disappear or die. So, but then at the same time, he would meet these kids, and he would protect them. And he would be there, he would be like their protector. But for adults, he's a danger. But for kids, I guess because he was a kid, and I feel like Joe feels like, if I protect this kid, it's like me protecting myself. It's like, nobody protects me as a kid. So me protecting this kid, I'm kind of protecting myself. But it's like, no, yeah, you're helping out the kid, but at the same time, you're still not a kid, Joe. Like, you are forcing people in a relationship with you when they don't want to be in a relationship with you. But then you're trying to say that you're a good person. Okay. But in a way, he has you care about him because you do see... you do see, like, the care. And he's kind of charming. Like, he's kind of charming and he has this fucking way. Like, Joe's fucking toxic. He's just toxic. He's just one of those toxic people that you know they're fucking toxic, but you still got this soft side for them. And you don't know why the fuck you even care about this motherfucker. Like, why are you rooting for the fucking killer? Why are you rooting for this person? Why? And you just look up and you rooting for, because I caught myself on some of the episodes rooting for Joe. Especially when Joe start kind of dating Love and really pursuing it. Well, I would say the difference between Becky and Love was that Becky didn't really pursue Joe like that. She didn't really try to talk to him like that. Joe had to kind of be a random spot stalking her. He had to just randomly pop up at her yoga shop or some shit like that and then talk about, it was fate that bumped us in together. No, it was called MapQuest, bitch. It was called Google Search, bitch. I don't think people use MapQuest, but Google Search. It was called that Snapchat filter thing where you could find people's location. It was called that. It was called them location links on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat, and YouTube. It was called vlogging, okay? Because, you know, Joe was big into going on social media. Because, you know, everybody goes social media, and everybody likes to put their whole life story on social media, okay? People love to go on social media and put it. They work at McDonald's. They fucking hate their job. They got 5 kids at home. They live somewhere in Kentucky. Like, some bullshit like that. And I don't understand. I know, when you go on social media and they put out, you know, you sign up, they say, what's your location? What do you like to do? Da-da-da-da, all this stuff. I can't believe people actually be putting, like, their location on a random ass site for billions of people to see. That's why a lot of these people are missing and getting killed. But let's get back to the point. So, we're following Joe this whole time. So, Joe this whole time has met a kid to protect, okay, the landlord's sister. He has found another victim to stalk, which is Love, but Love pursued him more. I would say love really pushed the relationship more than Joe did. Like, Joe was obsessed, but he wasn't as crazy as he was for Becky. But I think in a way, because when you watch episodes, you watch like flashbacks of his childhood, Love kind of looks like his mother. Like, she has the same type of features, and she kind of reminds him of his mother. And I think that was another reason why he kind of liked her, but then kind of like stepped back from her faster than Becky. Because with Becky, he thought he could be a better person. He could be a good person. Because he likes to find these fucking crazy... Well, he likes to find people that he think that can make him better, that can make him not think that he's a killer. But it don't work out like that, because the ginger hair girl, Love, and Candace, they kind of look like his mama. You know, they're real aggressive. They don't really take that much shit, and they come with a lot of fucking drama. And they're real fiery. Because Love is really smart. Love was kind of outsmarting him with a lot of stuff. Because when Candace came to town, because Candace ended up dating 40. And when they met at a retreat with the parents, because the parents invited them out to the spiritual retreat and stuff, because once you start to find out about Love and 40's parents and stuff, you start to realize that Joe ain't the only crazy one in Hollywood. And that shows you that you think in dingy ass, cold ass, subway, rats, high ass rent, expensive, closed and caged in New York, that you will find you a good crazy. But you know, you find more artsy people than you do in LA. I would say LA is like the capital of Hollywood when it comes to films and movies, but you find more artsy people and more people that's into the arts and really gifted in the arts in fucking New York. He found the craziest motherfuckers in LA, where the sun shines bright up ass, okay? Because people love kissing people ass in LA. But he found the crazy people. So when you thinking you being these cool people because they're into crystals and into holistic stuff and we don't eat meat and we are for save the whales, you find out they are more fucking crazy than you. So he ends up hanging out with Love and find out more about family. So he ends up finding out Love and 40 has a very unhealthy type of relationship, very codependent. 40 always depends on Love. Love is like Love is 40's sister, but she treats her like the mother, because the mother is really so centered. Like, the mother when she was younger was this hot chick that met this guy that had money, that family came for money. She got with him, but she really wasn't a mother type, okay? She was more of a, I'm trying to live a certain lifestyle, and I want to be taken care of, and I want to be provided for. I would pop out some kids for your fucking ass, because I know you need kids, but besides that, I am not nobody's fucking mama. Okay, because you can come through somebody and they still doesn't mean that they're your mama. You just, you know, you just got on the gravy train. You know, you had to get somewhere. You had to go through some portal to get here. So you came through them, but they ain't your mama. So Love is 40's mama in a way. And the mama treats Love harder than 40. Because I guess 40 is fucking delusional too. Okay, let's just say Joe really met people that reflected him. Okay, Joe's delusional, 40's delusional, Love is crazy, Joe's crazy. You see what happens when you be out here and that you be attracting these people, and people always think they punishment is about, people think punishment is I go to prison or I die. Punishment, karma, or getting what you throw back out there, back to yourself, is something that you can't imagine. Because if you was able to kind of get the idea of your punishment, you'll be able, and you'll probably take it like a nobleman. Like, this is what deserves. You start going this whole little deep monologue, okay? Because you feel like this is how my punishment gonna go. Yeah, I'm going to prison, I'm going to die, da-da-da-da. No. Punishments don't work out like that. Good karma, bad karma does not warn you when it's coming, and it does not describe you what you're gonna get, because your karma might be into your motherfucking people that you fucking meet, that you thought was,
you realize you thought she met your twin flame, you actually met a fucking karmic relationship, and this person is way crazier than you, got way more power than you, so they can keep on killing, because Love and Forty's parents own the police station in a way. Okay, they got a lot of, they 40 and Love parents are like, I know who knows a guy, who knows a senator, who knows this guy, who knows this lawyer. So at this point, if they do kill somebody, they ain't gonna serve no damn time for that shit. They not gonna serve, because they have made it to a spot in life that it go away. You know, they're the type of people be like, oh my God, you know, I accidentally killed such and such. Oh, don't worry about it. It's gonna go away. They like the Olivia Popes of the shit. Okay, they gonna, that shit's gonna go away like it never happened. But y'all remember that y'all had a dead fucking nanny outside the house. So the more Joe hangs out with family, the more he finds out that Love is codependent on 40. And 40 treats Love like a fucking mother. And anytime 40's having a relapse, anything, or he's just in a funk, Love has to drop everything and she has to come and be the backbone for her brother, because the brother through the whole fucking series kept on saying that he had a play that was going on. He was writing movies for Steven Spielberg, all this crazy shit, and nothing was really going on. Like, 40 was a once addict and he was kind of delusional, and then he was a big ass fucking baby with parents that have money for years and years. So I'm gonna be right back. This is gonna be a commercial break. To talk about Joe's crazy ass. Okay, I love Joe. I honestly, he's a fucking monster. But you know what? Some monsters can sometimes creep in that one crack of your heart, and all of a sudden you develop these feelings for this monster, and then when you look back you realize this motherfucker's a monster, until you find out a bigger monster, which is Love, family, and 40. 40 gets my fucking nerves. I was so glad that 40 died, okay? I was so glad, because 40 is a piece of shit, okay? 40 couldn't fucking afford to go and write a fucking script. You like how I made that rhyme? I know. But Joe Jackson, where you are? Okay, so let's talk about Love, old unlovable ass. So Love, we learned that Love is a crazy ass fucking woman that is the mother of 40, not biologically, but emotionally, mentally, and destructively. She is the mother of 40. And they have this weird-ass relationship that 40 can't grow the fuck up. And Love is basically his mother, because their actual mother is a piece of yoga shit. Okay? She's the one person that does yoga, so believe in crystals, but actually don't really believe in it, because she's too much of a piece of a shit to realize she's a narcissistic fucking rich woman. Okay, I guess when you're rich, you get to be narcissistic, okay? That's advantages of not having a fucking job, okay? So you got a fucking job and shit. That shit doesn't work. But, so we get back to it. So Love, family, to me, was interesting. But Love, family, is just the American dream of a family in LA, okay? Outside, they look cute. They own a smoothie shop. You know, everybody's own smoothie shop is crazy, but they own a smoothie shop. From the outside, it looks cute. All, you know, you have the sister that's stable, she's a cook, and you just have one fuck up in the family. When you have one fuck up in the family, you can still go on about life. People say, you know what, I fucked up on that kid, I dropped him when he was a kid, and that's why he's fucking slow. But let's not get into that right now. But so Love's family to me is a very dangerous family, but a family with money. Basically, Love's family is like, it would Joe family stick together and they finally grown up, but then they have money. See, Joe doesn't have money. Imagine if Joe had money like Love. Can you imagine how dangerous, how more dangerous Joe would be
if he had the money that Love had. I mean, Joe's already dangerous. He already killed for sport. But having that money does something. That makes you to a bigger monster, because at the end of the day, you know that you are in the high levels of society. Okay? Your parents have connections that can make things go away. You don't gotta go through the average Joe shit, okay? You don't gotta go get a lawyer and get on your knees and pray to whatever God you believe in to get you out of a situation. No, all you gotta do is just call your daddy, and your daddy calls a guy who knows God, who knows God, who knows Ray Donovan, and then the shit just goes away, okay? Imagine if Joe had that power. So, even though Joe did get to the point where he start finding Love, and find out Love was just as dark as him, or even 10 times darker, because she had the power that he didn't have. Because another thing, how the fuck Love's husband died? I'm starting to think the old girl killed him. And I feel like they're going to go deeper into her husband's story next season. But I feel like Love killed him for some odd reason. I don't know, maybe because she was killing a lot of other people that we found out about. But yeah, Joe ended up finding his one and truly love, which was Love. Okay, look, Joe finally met, I guess, his fate, his karma. You know, he dished it out and he got it. So he met Love, and then he started realizing, fuck, Love was more crazy than me. No, Joe, you're just fucking poor. You and Love are on the same fucking level, since Love has access to things that your crazy ass don't. And if your crazy ass has access to those things, you probably be way worse than y'all right now. So you should be thanking the high heavens that you was born in fucking poverty. Because you killed for crazy love. But you will protect the kid with all your might. And that's what's so dangerous about Joe. It's like, if Joe killed kids and ladies and all that stuff, then we fucking hate Joe. Fuck Joe. Fuck Joe. But Joe, he loves kids. He take care of kids because he feel like if I take care of a kid, if I stand in front of a bus and get hit in front of this bus for a kid, I'm a good person. It contradicts me being a fucking monster. Because I can at least say, hey, I love the kids, but I will kill your fucking mama. I will fucking kill that bitch if she does not fucking love me back. You know, that's the thing about Joe. Joe is just in between that line. And like the guy said to Joe, when Joe fought that comedian, okay, let's just keep it a buck 150 with you. The comedian was fucking weird, his goddamn self. He had a whole sex fucking dungeon under his fucking house in a secret room headed that nobody know about, unless you got drugged and he drug you down there. But hey, you wasn't gonna remember because you got fucking drugged. So when Joe kidnapped the comedian and took him down to his basement and stuff and eventually killed him, the comedian did tell Joe, you're just like me. You're thinking that you're better because you're doing this. You're a monster just like me. And it's like, that's true, but you know, sometimes you need another monster to kill another monster. You see how that goes? You know, one monster because two monsters. You can't have a monster. It's like an innocent child trying to kill a monster. Okay, they're gonna try to find the good in that fucking monster. You need a monster to kill a monster, darling. Okay, just like when you're a criminal, you need a fucking criminal to take down a criminal. Okay, we don't need no Good Samaritan bullshit right here, baby. We need the energy. You know when they say keep that same energy, baby? We talking about all around bad, good, all that. So you need a monster to kill a monster. So for Joe to meet Love, which is another form of monster, you need a monster to kill a monster. Those Becky was for the streets. Let's keep it above 150, okay? Because girl was out here, she was slinging that dick everywhere, okay? If Becky was a fucking man, she would have some babies out here. But Becky, besides her other things and how messy she was and how she didn't want to buy no fucking curtains for her fucking apartment, she was not a monster. Yes, she was a broken child from a broken family, okay? And she was a struggling college student. Well, not college student, but she was a struggling person trying to live in New York and trying to live out the dream, okay? But she was not a monster. She couldn't deal with Joe. Joe, baby, sit down and talk. You know you're a monster, honey.
I mean, you're a sweet monster when it comes to kids, but you're a monster. And Becky wasn't a monster. Neither was the girl with the red hair. His Candace, that bitch. I'm kind of glad to kill that bitch, y'all, because she's getting on my motherfucking nerves. Girl, when you locked his ass in the damn cage, it was like, I'm going to call Love and show her that you a killer. No, let me tell you something, bitch. Let me school you on when you find a fucking killer and you got him in the fucking trap. You call 911. You call the cops. You do not try to be, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray to you and pray my point. No, okay? We are not doing the, I glowed up, I'm going to come back and you're going to have to kiss my ass because now you can't bully me no more. No, call the cops, baby. Call the cops. So, Candace, dumbass, she do all that shit and move to LA in a fucking 40, which I'm like, girl, you really dedicated to this because 40, that nigga took, when he drugged Joe and gave him that acid drug, I would have beat the fucking shit out of 40. Bitch, don't you ever fucking lace my shit. I would beat the shit out of 40. Like, for real, you better be lucky you got some parents that's fucking dangerous. Because you would get an ass tagged. So, 40, so Candace did all that moving to LA just to tell Joe, listen, I'm going to taunt you. I'm going to ruin your fucking life. And then she ended up getting decapitated by Love. And then she realized it was a waste of fucking time. You know, sometimes it's good to leave old demons in the past. Yeah. But after Love decapitated my girl Candace, after Candace did all that, trying to prove to 40 that Joe was a killer and all that stuff, which 40 kind of ended up getting the memo that Joe was a killer when he talked to the therapist at the prison, and the therapist was acting like a little punk, and he was all like, maybe this is my karma for cheating my wife. Fuck your wife, okay? Cheating doesn't mean life in prison, okay? Fuck that shit. But he's in there talking about, this is my karma, this is the... So it's like, whatever. So 40 was like, fuck it. And then left the prison thing. So 40, when he got high, he kind of pieced together because he was reading that Becky's book because they ended up publishing her book. And he ended up piecing together Joe was the killer. So... he's all texting Love, like, la, 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 like, call me Joe's the killer, like, he's dangerous and stuff. But Love, did he know his sister's the fucking killer, too? His sister, when they was children, slit their babysitter's throat. Which, you know what, granted, that bitch was a nasty asshole. She was trying to fuck little kids, and that bitch got fucked up. I mean, no trespass was allowed in the house. So... Love ended up killing the bitch. And he don't know that. So Joe, 50 all this time thought he killed the bitch. But he didn't kill the bitch. Because it's like, if you fell to sleep, you couldn't kill her. So, little did he know, Love is a whole killer. Okay, she's a whole bakery killer. But it makes sense. She's good at, you know, her hands. I can see her be good with a knife. I mean, you gotta be careful with them cooks. Okay, it's an art to cooking. It's dangerous. Have y'all not watched fucking Hannibal Lecter? This man used to fucking kill people and it cooked them like a sous vide, whatever the fuck they call that fancy meat. And he used to make it look all pretty. He made the food look all good and stuff. But little did you know, you was eating the balls. He was cooking balls and penises and shit and titties and vaginas and organs. He was cooking people. But he made it look so pretty. And then it looked so pretty. You thought it was, you know, he just thought it was a little fat ass cow or something. But then, you know, Hannibal Lecter was a fucking monster in his own fucking I eat bitches way. Okay, he really eat your ass. Okay, he didn't kill you, he eat you. Damn, he like literally devoured them. But back to Love. So little did he know Love. So Love ended up confessing to Joe that she was a killer and she the one that killed the landlord girl. And she cocked. You know, she made this whole plan up. She did all this because, you know what? She saw that her and Joe were soulmates. Her and Joe got each other. Her and Joe was just alike. I mean, we both looking for love. And we both want to be cared for. And we both want to be seen as people that love. We love hard. And we want somebody to love us as hard as we love them. And then Joe looked at that bitch like, oh, bitch, you crazy. You crazy, crazy. Like, who let the baddie bitch out of the asylum come out here to mingle with the normal people? Who let the crazy bitch out? Who let the crazy bitch out? But it's like, Joe, there's a thing about Joe that got me at the last episode. When him and Love kind of got together after 40 tried to kill Joe, and then the cops shot 40, and then, you know, the parents cleaned it up and all that. So, Love was about to have Joe's baby. So, Joe, they live in this little house in the suburbs, okay? And she's panicked, and Joe's like, I'm gonna be a father. I'm gonna be a good father. I'm not gonna be my whack-ass daddy. I'm gonna be a good daddy and all that stuff. Da-da-da-da. So, after all that bullshit, after all that, he decides, that the lady next door behind the wooden gates with her little bikini and her sun hat and her pretty pool and her lawn chair in her nice, clean backyard that, I want to date her. But this is the thing. He has a whole baby mama that is called Crazy Ass Love. So now Joe, whack ass, you a monster in your whack ass piece of shit. Now he has a new crush. Ah! You see how man do us? You see how man play these games? I could have swore 2 seasons ago this man was saying, I'm looking for somebody to love me. Divine love. I want somebody to love me and take my love. I want to stalk them. I want to love, 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 love. And now he found a woman that's going to love him, and she's going to love him, and he and all that stuff. He found basically his fucking soulmate. Or karmic relationship. You never know. He found somebody evilly yoke. And then he realized, damn, even though I found my twin flame, she's perfect. She's just like me. She got the same baddie problems I have. She's fucked up psychologically like me. And she has codependent issues like me. I'm not satisfied. I'm going to find somebody else that's probably nothing like me. And that probably thinks I'm a fucking weirdo. Or and probably it's going to either get killed by me or fucking Love. Because when Love finds out, she's either going to kill her or you or she, or Joe's going to kill the lady. Because the lady's going to probably lose interest. And Joe has this weird thing where he thinks that people love overly aggressive fucking guys. So, that is my review on you. So don't you go being a fucking you out here, y'all. Stop. Listen, I don't know who needs to hear this. Put your phone down. Log off of Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook and stop stalking her. She don't want you no more. Leave her ass alone. Okay? Stop stalking him. For you female youths too. Don't you do it. Put your Instagram, Twitter, all that down. What you need to do is be stalking yourself. Because if you stalk yourself, you're going to find somebody to come stalk you better than you can stalk yourself. And that's that. For this view on you. Oh, y'all, and like I said, y'all better not be stingy. Y'all better share this. Y'all better share it. And leave me a view. Tell me what you think about the episode. Don't be so quiet. Don't be shy, okay? I'm shy. I don't need y'all to be shy. Hello. I'm playing. I'm not really shy. It depends. Ooh.